By 2050, it is estimated that over a fifth of the population in the United States will be 65 years or older, compared to only 15.6% today. With a rapidly aging population, it is imperative that we start planning now for how we will house and care for the senior population in the future. These are common issues for older people. You may share the often heard wish, "I want to stay in my own home." The good news is that with the right help, you might be able to do just that. Staying in your own home as you get older is called aging in place. Planning ahead is hard because you never know how your needs might change. The first step is to think about the kinds of help you might want in the near future. Maybe you live alone, so there is no one living in your home who is available to help you. Maybe you don't need help right now, but you live with a spouse or family member who does. Everyone has a different situation. One way to begin planning is to look at any illnesses, like dementia, diabetes, or emphysema, that you or your spouse might have. Talk with your doctor about how these health problems could make it hard for someone to get around or take care of him or herself in the future. If you're a caregiver for an older adult, learn how you can get them the support they need to stay in their own home. Comfort. The primary benefit of home care is that your loved one is able to stay in the place that is most comfortable and familiar to them. They can sleep in their own bed, use their own bathroom, and continue their daily routines. Being in familiar surroundings can be especially beneficial for those suffering from progressive conditions that affect the memory, such as dementia. Personalized care. Instead of adjusting to the schedules and routines of a care facility, a home care plan is customized to fit your family's needs. Whether your loved one only needs assistance for a few hours a day, or requires full-time live-in care, home care is flexible and adapts to what is best for each client. Faster recovery. Research shows that patients recover from surgery and illness faster and more successfully in the comfort of their own home. They also have a decreased risk of developing infection from exposure to germs in a medical facility and have fewer hospital readmissions. One-on-one attention. The personal nature of home care allows your loved one to be the primary focus of the caregiver. Their job is to provide a level of attention and care that ensures your loved one is safe and comfortable. Because an in-home caregiver is usually tending to a single client, their needs are met much faster than in a residential facility. Cost-effectiveness. Home care rates are charged by the hour, so there is a lot of flexibility when it comes to out-of-pocket expense. Costs in the Bay Area average $24-$35 per hour, and there is usually a discounted rate for 24-hour live-in care. For individuals that need assistance on a part-time basis, the cost of home care can be significantly lower than a residential nursing facility, which costs up to $550 per day. Long-term care insurance plans could also help cover the cost of home care. Peace of mind. You won't have to worry about your loved one being alone and falling or getting injured while performing daily activities such as showering and using the stove. Instead, you will be able to rest easy knowing they are being well cared for. Independence. Loss of independence is a big concern for seniors who are considering care options. A huge advantage of home care is that your loved one is able to keep control over many aspects of their daily life. They get to continue living by their own schedule, choosing when they want to eat, sleep, and socialize. For seniors who no longer drive, a caregiver can help them get to social activities and run errands, supporting their ability to live independently. Companionship. Seniors who live alone often experience social isolation and feelings of loneliness, which can lead to a decline in health. A caregiver provides your loved one with a familiar face, friendly conversation, and a meaningful human connection, all of which can have a big impact on overall health and well-being. Family involvement. Home care enables your family to be a larger part of your loved one's care plan. With a good home care agency, you will have a direct line of communication with your loved one's caregiver, and a care manager will provide you with frequent updates regarding care. Pet ownership. The ability to stay living at home means your loved one won't have to part with their beloved pet. For seniors, pet companionship has been shown to ease loneliness, reduce heart disease, and calm dementia patients. A caregiver's help can allow seniors to enjoy the benefits of pet companionship, even if they need some assistance caring for the animal. It is still a challenge to estimate what proportion of people living in residential care facilities have dementia. Whilst this may vary greatly from country to country, research has indicated that many people living in care and nursing homes have dementia. In Ireland, a small-scale study showed that around one-third of residents in the surveyed nursing homes had a clinical diagnosis of dementia, and a very large number of residents had a cognitive impairment which, in around a half of the cases, was severe. Likewise, other countries, such as the United Kingdom, UK, and Switzerland, have reported that a large proportion of residents have dementia or a significant cognitive impairment suggestive of dementia. People with dementia living in residential care settings often have more complex needs, may experience challenges in communicating these needs, and may be less able than others to cope with inadequate care. The number of adults choosing to age in place will continue to increase in the next few decades. Many cities have begun to recognize the need to provide seniors with easy access to the amenities they enjoy and need. New York City has developed aging improvement districts to better serve the needs and lifestyles of older adults, as well as some of the physical challenges that are faced with age. Active seniors looking to remain in their current communities and in their own home should start planning now to age in place. Beginning in the bedroom, enhancements and renovations can make all the difference in giving you many years of enjoyment living in your own home. Current estimates suggest that some 9 million people are living with dementia in Europe, EU 28, Alzheimer Europe. Many of these individuals live at home in the community. However, due to different circumstances, and at different stages of the condition, some people will need or will choose to move to a residential care facility. Also, some people may develop dementia after moving to residential care. Even though many of the existing standards and requirements for older people in residential care are relevant to people with dementia, few address the specific needs of people with dementia. Many countries have developed, not binding, guidelines or standards for the care of people with dementia, not specific for residential care. This oversight is important, as people with dementia have different and often more complex needs and therefore require a different approach or provisions. People in more advanced stages of dementia are often less able to defend their interests and rights and to communicate their preferences. The physical environment is essential for the well-being of residents. The report identifies standards, addressing various aspects of the physical environment in the vast majority of countries. However, the report also highlights important differences across Europe, for example, related to the size of private and common spaces, access to outdoor spaces, privacy and the right to choose, for example, whether or not to share a room or what or where a person wants to eat. As an example, in terms of occupancy of private rooms, in around a quarter of the countries, up to 4 residents can be accommodated in the same room. On the other hand, in Belgium, Flanders, Finland, Ireland, Norway and the UK, all, or a very high proportion of rooms should be single. Standards regarding outdoor spaces were found in fewer than half of the countries involved in the report. Standards related to one or more aspects of the workforce are present in almost all countries: the amount of personnel, skills, qualifications, composition of the team. The quality of the care provided is not dependent solely on the number of staff, but also on the right skill mix, qualifications, training and experience of the staff. Several countries have strict ratios for personnel or qualifications, whereas others allow for more flexibility. Whilst in the majority of cases standards require that the staff receive training, only a handful of countries reported specific requirements related to dementia training on the issues addressed in this report. Dementia training on challenging behaviors, supported decision-making and participation and abuse, would be particularly relevant for the staff providing care and could also have a great impact on the lives of residents. Admission into a residential care facility can be a stressful time for many people with dementia and their carers. Around a third of the countries reported specific requirements allowing the person to visit the facility and spend some time there before making the decision to move in. Many countries reported this was a common practice, but it was not specified in the standards. We found requirements in all countries in relation to the need to document some personal, health and social information for each resident and, in some cases, specifically to draw up a care plan. In some countries, this focuses mainly on medical and nursing issues, whereas in others this seems to take a more holistic approach. Important differences also relate to the expected involvement of the resident and his, her family in drawing up and reviewing the care plan. The lack of specific standards regarding the use of restraint and the provision of end-of-life care are some of the most concerning gaps identified in the report, especially as a lot of people with dementia spend their last days of life and die in these settings. The use of restraint also represents significant ethical and legal challenges and is a topic of particular relevance to people with dementia who may be vulnerable and unable to understand and express their wishes. In conclusion, the quality of care provided in residential care facilities in Europe is a complex and challenging topic. There are important differences in the way long-term care is organized and provided across Europe. People with dementia living in these care settings should have the same rights and opportunities as other residents to have a good quality of life. Staff, residents and family members should be aware and well-informed about their rights and what they should be able to expect from care. Clear, accessible, dementia-specific standards and appropriate training for staff to address this issue are not yet widespread in Europe. Aging in place, also known as living in place, is the ability to live in your own home independently and safely, according to the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, CDC. AARP reports that 90% of adults over the age of 65 want to remain at their current residence. Furthermore, 1 in 3 American households include at least one resident 60 years of age or older. Bottom line, most people want to live at home as long as possible, and this desire will have a profound impact on our residences and neighborhoods over the coming years. As it happens, the inevitable results of aging make older adults susceptible to certain injuries at home, and these increased risks may affect their ability to age in place. Falls are one of the leading causes of death due to injury among older adults, according to the CDC, and falls are often the result of simple hazards such as throw rugs, stairs without railings, obstructed pathways, and wide spaces with no supports. For this reason, many of the procedures for making homes safer for the elderly focus on reducing the risk of falls. Some of these modifications need to be made to the entire house, while others are specific to a particular room. A home's entryways are particularly important for aging in place since they control access to the house. The entry points to a house also include steps in many cases, which always present safety challenges for the elderly. Some entryway modifications require significant time and expense, like wheelchair ramps and non-skid flooring. Other measures require slight changes to the home itself, such as installation of new light switches and railings. But many aging-in-place modifications are as easy and inexpensive as removing throw rugs and adding new light fixtures. Here's a look at what you can do to make getting into your home easier and safer. The development of modern medicine and consequent increase in life expectancy has also encouraged the use of universal design in home building and other products, technologies and services. While it may be hard to accept, most of us will require some type of care assistance after the age of 65. You may be used to handling everything yourself, dividing up duties with your spouse, or relying on family members for minor help around the home. But as you get older and your circumstances change, getting around and taking care of yourself can become more and more difficult. If the idea of moving to a retirement community, assisted living facility, or nursing home doesn't appeal, home care services may be able to help keep you living in your own home for longer. Home care services include household maintenance. Keeping a household running smoothly takes a lot of work. If you're finding it hard to keep up, you can look into laundry, shopping, gardening, housekeeping, and handyman services. If you're having trouble staying on top of bills and appointments, financial and healthcare management may also be helpful. Transportation. Transportation is a key issue for older adults. Maybe you're finding it hard to drive or don't like to drive at night. Having access to trains, buses, rideshare apps, reduced fare taxis, and senior transportation services can help prolong your independence and maintain your social network. Home modifications. If your mobility is becoming limited, home modifications can go a long way towards keeping your existing residence comfortable and accessible. Modifications can include things such as grab bars in the shower, ramps to avoid or minimize the use of stairs, or even installing a new bathroom on the ground floor. Personal care. Help with the activities of daily living, such as dressing, bathing, or meal preparation, is called personal or custodial care. Home health aides can provide personal care services that range from a few hours a day to around-the-clock live-in care. They may also provide limited assistance with things such as taking blood pressure or offering medication reminders. Some healthcare services can be provided at home by trained professionals, such as occupational therapists, social workers, or home health nurses. Check with your insurance or health service to see what kind of coverage is available, although you may have to cover some costs out of pocket. Hospice care can also be provided at home. Day programs or adult daycare can help you keep busy with activities and socialization during the day, while providing a break for your caregivers. Some daycare programs are primarily social, while others provide limited health services or specialize in disorders such as early-stage Alzheimer's. It's natural to want to stay at home as you grow older. The familiar can be comforting as we face the losses that inevitably come with aging, and your home is likely filled with fond memories and your neighborhood with familiar people. However, taking a step back to look at the big picture can help you decide whether staying at home for the long term truly is the right step for you. Too often, decisions to leave home are made abruptly after a sudden loss or health crisis, making adjustments all the more painful and difficult. Earlier planning and examining which home care services are available can make it easier to make the choice that's right for both you and your family. Of course, everyone's needs vary, depending on factors such as how much support you have, your general health and mobility, and your financial situation. Here are some of the issues to consider when evaluating your aging-in-place and home care options. Location and accessibility. Where is your home located? Are you in a rural or suburban area that requires a lot of driving? If you're in an area with more public transit, is it safe and easily accessible? How much time does it take you to get to services such as shopping or medical appointments? It's also important to consider proximity to community services and activities. Home accessibility and maintenance. Is your home easily modified? Does it have a lot of steps or a steep hill to access? Do you have a large yard that needs to be maintained? Support available. Do you have family and friends nearby? How involved are they? Are they able to provide you the support you need? Many older adults prefer to rely on family to provide help, but as your needs increase, they might not be able to fill in all of the gaps. Caregiving can be physically and emotionally exhausting, especially if it is primarily on one person, such as a spouse or child. Your relationships may be healthier if you are open to the idea of getting help from more than one source. Isolation. If it becomes difficult or impossible for you to leave home without help, isolation can rapidly set in. You may not be able to participate in hobbies you once loved, stay involved in community service that kept you motivated, or visit with friends and family. Losing these connections and support is a recipe for depression. Medical conditions. No one can predict the future. However, if you or your spouse has a chronic medical condition that is expected to worsen over time, it's especially important to think about how you will handle health and mobility problems. What are common complications of your condition, and how will you handle them? Finances. Making a budget with anticipated expenses can help you weigh the pros and cons of your situation. Alternate arrangements like assisted living can be expensive, but extensive in-home help can rapidly become expensive as well, especially at higher levels of care and live-in or 24-hour coverage. Your family's opinions. Naturally, you have the final decision as to where you want to live, but input from family members can be helpful. Are they worried about your safety or a health problem that will eventually require heavy care? Listening to concerns and keeping an open mind are key. Universal design is an important concept to keep in mind as you plan to age in place. New homes are increasingly likely to be built or modified in line with this concept, especially when the prospective residents have functional limitations. Universal design is also part of the larger accessibility movement, which began in the 1960s. Accessibility became a commercially significant factor in home design during the early 1980s, when the development of various assistive technologies allowed architects to blend these considerations with aesthetics. The development of modern medicine and consequent increase in life expectancy has also encouraged the use of universal design in home building and other products, technologies, and services. One of the central principles of universal design is accessibility. Accessibility is the degree to which a product, service, or environment is usable for people with disabilities. Direct accessibility allows the disabled to use a device without assistance, while indirect access means that a device will be compatible with the user's assistive technology. Computer screen readers, for example, are a common type of device for providing indirect access. There has been a growing emphasis on research in aging and specifically on enhancing longevity and eliminating diseases of old age. However, there is a dearth of research focused on improving the emotional, social, and physical well-being of older adults. This issue is relevant not only to elders but also to their caregivers and healthcare providers. To fully grasp the nuances of aging, our empirical efforts must expand beyond the lifespan. As the field of aging grows, interventions to enhance the well-being of older adults warrant closer attention. As the population of older adults increases in size, there is a growing demand for healthcare providers to manage their needs and monitor their health. At present, there is a major global shortage of geriatric care providers, an issue that is approaching crisis levels and is only going to grow. Innovations in technology may provide some solutions to this issue. For example, communication tools such as smartphones, sensors, and data management algorithms may allow physicians and healthcare staff to remotely monitor the health of older patients. Such devices have the potential to improve both access and quality of care available to older adults. In addition to such passive applications to monitor the physical health of older adults, technology also has the potential to be used more directly by elders in ways that may improve their psychological and emotional well-being. For example, computer-based technologies in elder-friendly formats can be relatively easily customized to meet an individual's needs. These technologies have the potential to help older adults communicate with relatives who live far away, thus improving social functioning. Older adults with limited mobility can leverage technologies to remotely conduct financial transactions or execute everyday tasks such as grocery shopping. One concern ZECL Healthcare have often raised focuses on the ability and interest of older adults in using these information and communication technologies, ICTs. Older adults, of course, do not use ICTs as commonly as younger individuals, but they do appear to use these devices in comparable ways to communicate, to access healthcare information, for entertainment. There is growing evidence that certain factors such as perceived advantages of technology use and design elements may influence whether or not older adults utilize new technologies. There appear to be promising targets for modifications that can improve technology adoption by older adults. The utilization of ICTs in geriatric care warrants close investigation into the feasibility, acceptance, and economic viability of these approaches. While demographic factors, age, gender, and level of education, are often considered when determining the ease with which older adults use ICTs, the influence of other factors such as dementia, psychiatric illness, and caregiver availability on technology use is yet to be fully characterized. Technologies have the potential not only to improve access to care for patients with dementia but also to show promise as therapeutic tools. Their interventional utility may be particularly relevant in the management of behavioral symptoms such as agitation. Individuals with dementia often demonstrate behavioral symptoms such as agitation, aggression, and psychosis. These symptoms are associated with significant caregiver stress and frequent need for hospitalizations, as well as higher mortality. Better management of behavioral disturbances may not only help patient outcomes but also improve caregiver burden and reduce healthcare costs. Typically, antipsychotics and other pharmacological approaches have been used to manage behavioral symptoms in older adults with dementia. However, these medications add to the risk of polypharmacy, have a limited benefit, and may be associated with side effects such as stroke and mortality. There is a need for non-pharmacological interventions for behavioral management of older adults with psychiatric illness. Non-pharmacologic interventions, individualized musical experiences, reminiscence, or art therapy, may be most effective in managing symptoms such as agitation if an individualized approach is implemented wherein a patient's unmet needs are identified and appropriately targeted. However, this can be time and resource intensive. There is growing evidence to suggest that technology may serve to enhance delivery of non-pharmacological interventions for agitation. However, this approach remains to be investigated in the context of reducing agitation in older adults with varying severity of dementia. To examine the feasibility, usefulness, and safety of tablet device use to manage behavioral symptoms, the authors conducted an open study in older inpatients with dementia and comorbid agitation. The researchers found that even patients with severe dementia were able to utilize the tablet devices, albeit with some guidance in the case of individuals with severe dementia. We also noted that individuals with severe dementia utilized the least complex applications, music apps, picture viewing apps, for the shortest duration of time. Based on staff ratings of agitation, patients with milder cognitive impairment appear to experience greater benefit in their behavioral symptoms post-tablet use compared with those with advanced cognitive impairment. These data suggest that simple and intuitive applications coupled with caregiver supervision may facilitate tablet use in individuals with a wide range of dementia severity. Tablet devices offer the possibility of individualizing treatment approaches. They not only allow the ability to select apps based on a patient's interest but also provide the opportunity to tap preserved cognition abilities. This is particularly important as patients may have a unique cluster of preserved abilities, and syndromes of agitation may have distinct etiologies. Both are best addressed via personalized interventions. As the penetrance of technology in geriatric care increases, there will be a growing need to develop resources for clinicians and caregivers regarding the use of these devices in an older population. This is also relevant in the context of applying these technologies in an interventional context. There is a need for guidelines for utilizing tablet devices and other novel technologies as effective caregiving tools, as well as for app developers working to serve the needs of older adults with a range of aging-related conditions including dementia and psychiatric illness. Learn more about new technology that will help keep your home up to date and make it easier for you to continue to age in place. Throw rugs are a common culprit in senior falls and should be discarded completely, while floor runners and other types of rugs need to be fastened down. Common accessibility modifications to the home include ensuring that at least one entryway is completely covered and has no steps. Doorways and hallways also need to be wide enough to accommodate wheelchairs. Throw rugs, a common culprit in senior falls in the entryway, should be discarded completely, while floor runners and other types of rugs need to be fastened down. The floor of the entryway must remain clear of loose objects to prevent tripping. Electrical cords should be secured to the wall and coiled to remove any slack. Since doorknobs require you to grab and twist them at the same time, it may be necessary to replace knobs with levers to head off any difficulty caused by arthritis or other problems of aging. The doorbell may also need to be lowered from its standard location to accommodate people with difficulty in raising their arms. Extensive accessibility modifications to the entryway include replacing tile flooring with vinyl or hardwood. Stair width, handrails, and proper illumination are all factors to take into consideration if your entryway includes steps. Steps in entryways pose a risk of tripping or falling for everyone, but they are especially dangerous to seniors. Steps should be at least 3 feet wide, although a greater width is preferred. Areas of the house that are on the same level should not have steps between them, something that sometimes shows up in homes that are older or have had extensive renovations. All stairs should have handrails on both sides, no matter how few steps they have. Handrails should extend beyond the bottom and top of the stairs to provide solid footing for their entire length. Handrails should also be round so they're easy to grip. Repair or replace any loose handrails as needed to ensure they provide secure support. Some seniors may also need to modify their behavior. Handrails provide no protection to those who refuse to use them. Interior steps should be covered with carpeting, if practical. Exterior steps should have non-slip rubber treads or tape as a minimum preventative measure against slipping. You should also wear footwear with slip-resistant soles when climbing or descending stairs. Steps also require adequate lighting to ensure the steps are clearly visible. This lighting needs to be placed carefully, however, it should prevent shadows that can cause visual confusion in people with poor eyesight. Proper illumination is especially important for the top and bottom steps, where falls are most likely. You're more likely to trip or fall when you're trying to do more than one thing at the same time. Entryways should therefore contain a raised surface at about waist level for placing packages or other items as you enter the home. This feature allows you to keep your hands empty as much as possible, letting you use them for maintaining balance. Ramps are a boon not only to people who are actually confined to a wheelchair, but also to those who simply need a less stressful way of leaving and entering the home. It may become necessary for your parent or another loved one to have an aid throughout the day to help with the many facets of everyday life. The ability to cook, clean the house, and bathe ourselves is something that we often take for granted, but may become impossible as we grow older. There are many options available for senior care, such as nursing homes and assisted living facilities, but the best choice for proving care for an elder is in-home care. There are many benefits to in-home elderly care, including peace of mind for an elderly person's family. Some of the many benefits of caring for the elderly at home are: freedom from the strict schedules of nursing facilities, the ability to retain much of their own independence, the comforts of remaining in their most familiar place, personal possessions that they may not be able to keep in a nursing facility, freedom to have family and friends visit whenever they like, the ability to carry on with their own personal habits and routines, a healthier overall setting free of illnesses that may be present in a clinical environment, less expense than nursing homes or assisted living centers, the ability to receive specialized care for conditions such as Parkinson's disease and Alzheimer's in the comfort of home. Quality of life is a very important thing for young and old alike. In-home care can provide a substantially better lifestyle than a nursing facility, and studies have proven that a higher standard of living can drastically extend an elder's lifespan. By providing a custom, individually tailored care plan to every elder under their care, in-home senior care establishments like Endeavor can provide exactly the care your elderly loved one requires. This encourages the elderly to continue taking care of themselves whenever possible, leading to more and happier years ahead. A wheelchair ramp can be one of the most effective ways of improving accessibility at the entrances to your home. Ramps are a boon not only to people who are actually confined to a wheelchair, but also to those who simply need a less stressful way of leaving and entering the home. Installing a wheelchair ramp is a major project, however, and one that requires thorough planning to fully meet the occupant's needs. A ramp may also need to comply with local building codes, so it's always best to seek help from a professional. The first step in installing a wheelchair ramp is to consider its primary users. Look first to the types of assistive devices they use. These may include canes and crutches as well as wheelchairs. Furthermore, you should also consider the user's future change in abilities before you begin building a wheelchair ramp. A variety of regulations can also affect the planning phase for this construction project, including the zoning laws and building codes of your local municipality. Check with your local building department to obtain any necessary permits. Your homeowners association, HOA, may impose additional restrictions on wheelchair ramps within your neighborhood, especially if it's visible from the outside. Geographic factors such as climate and the prevalence of natural disasters may also affect your design choice. Finally, the Americans with Disabilities Act, ADA, of 1990 establishes design standards for commercial wheelchair ramps that may be useful for constructing a ramp for private use. You DIY do-it-yourself or your contractor must also consider a number of physical factors before beginning construction. These include selecting the entrance where you'll build the ramp, a choice that's often constrained by how much room you have surrounding the entryway. Outdoor obstacles such as buildings, trees, and walkways can also be factors, though some approaches can lessen this as a consideration. A U-shaped ramp, for example, is often a better choice for entryway with limited space on the outside. Google Earth can provide an overhead view of your property that can help you select a location for your ramp. The steepness of the ramp depends on how high the entry point is above ground level, and ramp's slope may also be subject to limitations imposed by local building codes. As you choose which entrance to make accessible, you'll also want to consider each entryway's ease of access and doorway widths. Finally, the ramp should also be able to easily accommodate doorway features such as platforms, porches, and stairs. The most critical design considerations for wheelchair ramp are slope and length. The slope is particularly important, as it affects other factors such as the ramp's layout, accessibility, and construction cost. Slope is usually expressed as the ratio of the ramp's height, or rise, to its length, or run. For example, a slope of 1/12 means that the ramp rises 1 inch for every 12 inches of its run. This is the most common slope for a wheelchair ramp and is the one recommended by the ADA. If you plan to deviate from this standard, it's worthwhile checking your local building codes for compliance requirements. A wheelchair ramp is composed of sloped segments, also known as ramp segments, separated by flag segments, also known as the landings. The purpose of the landings is to allow the person pushing the wheelchair to rest. The length of each ramp segment is determined by its rise, which should never exceed 30 inches. In the case of a 1/12 slope, this requirement means that the length of each ramp segment should be no more than 30 feet. Landings should be at least 5 feet long and the same width as the ramp segments. The minimum width of a ramp should be 5 feet, enough space to allow you to change directions. Handrails. A wheelchair ramp should have handrails on both sides of the ramp if its run is longer than 6 feet or its rise is greater than 6 inches. In the case of curved ramps, the inside handrail should be continuous. The height of the handrail above the ramp should be between 34 and 38 inches, with a minimum of 1.5 inches between the rail and any solid surface outside the ramp. The ramp should also have a curb on both sides to prevent the wheelchair from rolling off the ramp. The opposing handrails must be at least 36 inches apart to ensure the ramp can accommodate a wheelchair. Since each handrail is 1.5 inches wide and requires 1.5 inches of clearance on the outside of the ramp, this means that any ramp must be at least 42 inches wide. Materials. The primary physical requirements for the ramp surface are that it must be firm, stable, and slip-resistant in any weather. These requirements generally mean that the ramp will be constructed of some type of composite material, which complies with ADA requirements on slip resistance in wet conditions. Trex Accents is also low maintenance, which is especially desirable for seniors who may not have the physical capability or desire to refinish the ramp surface. Trex Transcend Registered is also low maintenance and comfortable to use, which makes it a good choice of material for the handrails. Construction. As you can see, building codes and other practical considerations make constructing a wheelchair ramp a fairly complex and involved process, and probably not one that you should do yourself. Many contractors specialize in ADA-compliant modifications, so your best bet is to find one of these and at least consult with them on building a ramp and the best approach. Wheelchair ramp lighting. Wheelchair ramps create a common challenge to providing an entryway with adequate lighting for seniors. A standard porch light is mounted to an outside wall, next to an exterior door. This location is unlikely to provide sufficient lighting for wheelchair ramp, regardless of the bulb's power. The most common solution to this problem is to surround the ramp with floodlights and spotlights mounted to the walls and under the eaves of the roof. However, this arrangement typically creates glare and shadows on the ramp. Powerful lights at the entryway can even blind someone temporarily, especially at night. The use of low-voltage lighting provides a more effective solution to the problem of lighting a wheelchair ramp. These lights were originally developed for decks, but they can be easily adapted for use in wheelchair ramps by mounting them to the sides of the ramp. This arrangement provides continual lighting along the entire length of the ramp. Deck lights can be mounted so they're flush with the top of the ramp surface, so they don't create obstacles for the wheelchair. Furthermore, deck lights are dimmer than traditional overhead lighting, so they're less likely to blind someone who looks directly at them. Considerations for wheelchair ramp lighting underscore the importance of proper lighting in all areas of the home's UH. The amount of light that reaches a person's retina at age 65 is about 33% of the light reaching a young adult's retina, and this figure drops to about 20% at age 85. Lighting. The quality of light in a senior's home directly affects their quality of life. Proper lighting in the home can improve a senior's vision and help them maintain their independence longer. It can also increase their safety by reducing the risk of slips and falls. Lighting is particularly important because vision tends to weaken as we age, primarily as a result of normal age-related changes, but also because eye diseases become more prevalent as we get older. The amount of light that reaches a person's retina at age 65 is about 33% of the light reaching a young adult's retina, and this figure drops to about 20% at age 85. Our eyes' loss of efficiency in gathering light due to age also creates specific vision problems such as an increased sensitivity to light. It also increases the time needed to adapt to changes in light level, especially when going from a high to low level of light. Additional age-related vision problems include the loss of sensitivity to contrast. The combination of increased lighting and higher contrast in the home can help to minimize these effects. Lighting modifications at home entry points. With these aspects of aging eyes in mind, the most important lighting modification to age in place is to simply increase the amount of light surrounding the entryway. Exterior lighting at a home's entrance is especially critical since all of the features at this location, like steps, doorknobs, and door locks, must be easily seen and negotiated. You also need to carefully position the lighting in this area so that someone inside can see visitors' faces, and so that someone outside can see the house's distinguishing features, like house numbers. Multiple light sources may be necessary to meet all of these requirements. For example, backlighting is an effective method of providing high contrast for house numbers, whether it's day or night. Reflective strips can also increase the visibility of exterior steps, especially at night. Most falls are attributed to the loss of sight as we age. In this guide, we look at the best night lights that feature motion sensors. As people age in place, they need to know that they're protected from criminals, and that they can respond quickly and appropriately to fires and medical emergencies. Home security is particularly important for those who live alone. Entryway security. Along with the accessibility of universal design, physical security is the foundation of any safety plan for the home. As people age in place, they need to know that they're protected from criminals, and that they can respond quickly and appropriately to fires and medical emergencies. Home security is particularly important for those who live alone or travel frequently. Motion sensors are a great way to alert residents to the presence of someone outside the home, especially in an apartment or condominium with a shared entry point. These sensors turn the entry lights on when they detect motion above a certain threshold. The lights then turn off automatically after a specified period of inactivity. Seniors should also carry a mobile phone with them when they answer the door, so they can quickly call emergency services. Entry points. The entry points to a home provide many ways to improve safety and security for seniors who live alone. These measures can reduce the probability of an incident occurring in the first place and minimize the harm that it causes if an incident does occur. Safety and security measures for the entryway include improvements to the doors, windows, and locks. Electronic peepholes are also an effective method of increasing an entry point's security. All exterior doors should be made of metal or solid wood. Even the strongest door can be forced open if the frame is weak, however. For this reason, frames should be reinforced with wood or made of metal. Exterior doors should also have deadbolts to make a forced entry even more difficult. Keep these doors locked at all times, regardless of how safe you believe your neighborhood to be. Gates should also remain locked until a visitor arrives, and you should never bust someone in if you don't know them. Exterior doors with decorative glass may look great, but they aren't very safe. Decorative glass is easy to break and anyone on the outside will be able to see movement on the inside, even if the glass is frosted. You should therefore replace any exterior door that contains glass. All of the standard glass in the windows should be replaced with safety glass, which is virtually unbreakable. This modification will make it impractical to force entry through the windows and increase the window's structural strength. High-quality safety glass is still transparent, even though it's thicker than standard glass. You can also install security film on the interior side of the glass to prevent it from shattering. Never leave a spare key outside the house, especially in an obvious location such as under the mat or in a flower pot. Only trusted friends and family members should have copies of your keys, so they can check in on you from time to time. Peephole. A peephole on an exterior door is a traditional method of identifying the person on the other side, thus ensuring that you don't open the door to a stranger. However, the placement of interior lighting is critical for maximizing its effectiveness. Light in the entryway should come from the side of the door to allow you to see out, while preventing the person on the outside from seeing motion inside the house. The height of the peephole should also be low enough to allow you to look out conveniently, yet high enough to see the person's face. A simple peephole uses a wide-angle lens, which allows you to see a large area around the peephole at close range. This type of lens, however, distorts the image, making identification difficult. An electronic peephole can solve this problem by providing a more accurate image of the person outside the door. You can typically install these devices into the existing hole with a minimum of effort. Electronic peepholes are battery-powered and use an LCD panel to display a larger image that's much clearer than that provided by a normal peephole. They usually offer a zoom display mode and automatically compensate for low light conditions. Many models also prevent interior light from exiting the peephole, thus preventing the person on the outside from detecting motion. With the rise of new technology, there are many devices in play to turn your home into a smart house, allowing you more independence. Learn more about how having a smart home will help keep you aging in place. Everyone grows older. But if you take steps now to ensure that you can age in place, you can avoid some of the worst negative impacts that aging can have on your quality of life. Aging in place successfully demands preparing every aspect of your home with accessibility and safety in mind, and that includes the places where you enter and exit. Start making a plan today to ensure your home is accessible to you, your family, and your friends for years to come. With today's electronics, getting acquainted with a new remote can feel like an impossible task, but that small TV and the remote with 70 buttons may not work for you as you age. Additionally, if you have a number of remotes for different things, that could make life difficult as well. You'll want to avoid that, and there are choices you can make now that will help you later on. Just remember that technology changes fast, so you may not want to change your electronics and remotes now if you're still on the younger side, since new technologies may emerge, voice commands, for example, before you need to make any choices. For people who are already aging in place or are getting close to that time in their life, though, changing the electronics and remotes they use simply makes sense. You can buy remotes that have larger buttons and that are simplified, so you have fewer things to press and it's harder to make a mistake that may leave you stuck on a TV channel you don't want to watch or wondering why your DVD won't play like it's supposed to. Think carefully about the level of TV watching you do, and the types of things that are most important to you, and then focus on a remote and electronics that can give you those options. Those are really all you need on a daily basis, and the chances are high you can get some extra help if you need it for a special occasion or something you wouldn't normally do or view. The size of your TV can matter as you age, as well. You may not be able to see as well, and an HD TV in a larger size can help you see the screen better and can provide you with a sharper, clearer picture to watch. That makes a big difference for many elderly people who enjoy watching TV and want to be able to see their favorite programs without feeling like they're missing out. Closed captioning can also help for those who are hard of hearing. If you can find a TV that's as big as you can reasonably afford and have in your space, the odds are you won't need a different one later on unless that one actually quits working. You'll also want to take a look at what types of universal remotes are available, and look for a balance between a simplified design with larger buttons and enough functionality for what you need. Getting a remote that does all the basics you need easily can be a good choice for everyday use, while the more complicated remotes can be stored away close by for times when they may be needed for something you wouldn't always need or use. Consider putting grab bars in your living room. One of the ways you can make things safer for yourself as you age in place is to put grab bars in your living room. These can be in two different types of locations, beside where you would normally sit so you can get up more easily, and along walls so you can use them to steady yourself as you walk to the kitchen, bathroom, bedroom, or other locations. Both are good options, just depending on the level of need you have. Since that need may change with time, it's worth considering putting the bars in even if you don't need them right now. It's much better to have them and not need them than the other way around. Grab bars are generally metal, and look like stainless steel, but there are other options for colors, styles, and looks. You don't have to turn your living room into something that looks like an industrial site just for safety's sake. You can find grab bars that fit your aesthetic better, and that look more like what you would have in an elegant space.